from a 1980 Sports Illustrated magazine comes this quote. And I want you to listen to the quote very carefully. Fame is a vapor. Popularity is an accident. And money takes wings. The only thing that endures is character. Pretty good statement, eh? Do you know who made that statement? O.J. Simpson. Now, we're talking this morning about integrity, which we could say is the same thing or very similar to character. If you have good character, you probably have good integrity. We see with O.J. Simpson that he said the only thing that counts is character. But his life did not show much character, did it? Well, we see Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He talks about the Christian and the integrity we should have as Christians. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and been spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you. As you know, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea, in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, have been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see you see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. I would hope this morning that all of us would say that we want to be men of integrity, women of integrity, that we want to be like Jesus Christ. The English word for integrity means trustworthy, or incorruptible, of keeping your word, of being true to commitments, of firm adherence to a moral code. It means to be above reproach or blameless. It means a life that is consistent and forthright. And as I thought about the scripture with Apostle Paul, I said, you know, that's the kind of man that I want to be. That's the kind of man that I want to be. And we see in the Apostle Paul, we see his motive in serving God. And that's something that we have to look at too. What is our motive? Like, do we do it for the accolades of men? Do we do it for, you know, so that we can please men? But we see Paul in verse 2, it says that we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. And what that really means is that in much boldness, we spoke to you the gospel of God in much boldness. And if you read here in this passage, you read that Apostle Paul was shamefully treated in Philippi. Well, if you remember what happened in Philippi, he had gone there to preach the gospel, and he got put in prison. And they beat him, they put him in prison, and God delivered him from that prison, and then he went on to the Thessalonians. So as we look at this, we see that Paul, he didn't stop preaching the gospel when he got out of prison. He went on further and was even bolder. And then in verse 4 it says, but we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but pleasing God. So what the Apostle Paul wanted to do and what we should do, our goal should be to please God. To please God in the way that we live. And in verse 5 it says that, for neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness as a witness. And so we see that Paul was completely honest in what he did. And this is something that for you and I is so, so very important, that you be known as an honest person, that I be known as an honest man. You know, I just went to a funeral on Thursday, I think it was. And when you sit in a funeral, I don't know about you, but when you sit in a funeral, I hear the eulogies. Now, this was a Christian who died. So I hear the eulogies and what people say. And I always think about it. What are people going to say at my funeral? Now, I'm not trying to be, you know, somber here, but what would people say at my funeral? Would they say he was a man of his word? Because what they did at this funeral, they asked for this lady that died. She was 88 years old, but for a Christian lady who died, they said, one word that describes our sister, who now is in the presence of the Lord. And people would shout out a word. And one of the words was integrity. That she was known for integrity. And what does that mean? That means when she said she would be somewhere, guess what? She would be there. If she said she would do something, she would do it. You could always count on her to keep her word. And she was always known as a woman of integrity. An Amish man was asked if he had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And the wise man responded. He says, why do you ask me such a thing? I could tell you anything. Here's the name of my banker, my grocer, and my farmhands. Go ask them if I'm saved. Go ask them if I'm saved. True character, true integrity is confirmed by those who know us. Now, and I'd like to say this right now. You can sit here this morning, you're going to look back on your life, and you can go, you know. But the point is, we talked this morning at Breaking of Bread, There's no condemnation, right? Everything that is past, folks, is done with. Everything that is gone by from now to when we were born, those things we can't do anything about. So if we haven't been the way we should be, it doesn't mean that we should throw up our hands and give up. What it means is we say to ourselves, from now on, I'm going to be a person of integrity. And we're going to look at what that means this morning. We see that Paul's motives were focused on God, and his manner of life was also demonstrated that he was a man of integrity. Notice in verse 7, how does he describe the way he cared for the Thessalonians? He says, as a nursing mother. Now, we went to the Harrow Fair, which Harrow is a little town outside of Windsor. Went to Harrow Fair yesterday. And one of the things that we saw, were cows in a barn. And my grandchildren were very amused to see this young boy laying down with his cow's neck wrapped around his body. I mean, these two are great buddies, this cow and the... And we look at that, and we look at, what does it mean to be a nursing mother? Well, that's the epitome of care, isn't it? When you think of a nursing mother, you think of one who takes the baby and, you know, close to her chest, and she guards that baby with everything she's got. And so as Paul describes his behavior towards the Thessalonians, he says it's as a nursing mother. He also says, in verse 7, he says that he was gentle among them. In verse 8, he says he was caring. What does it mean to care for others? Do we really have a care for others? I know this is something that has been on my heart for the last 6 to 8 months, thinking of the assembly that I attend, and what does it really mean to love other people? What does it mean to really care? Because we can be very critical of others, can't we? Well, they should have did this, they should have done it this way, they should have done it that way. And as Christians, that shouldn't be named among us. You know, we should be encouraging each other and lifting each other up in the Lord to become more like our Savior. That should be our intent. And then it says in verse 8, he says, sharing ourselves. Okay, and what he's trying to get across is the idea that we have to, it costs us to be a person of integrity, because we need to share ourselves, and we can't just be concerned about our own needs. And in verse 9, he says he worked. So, and again, notice that it's work. It's work to be able to extend our love to other Christians. Verse 10, it describes Paul's ministry. And so his ministry, he describes it as a father. And how does a father, what should a father be? Now, if you don't have in your past, if your father was not what you would, I got to be careful here. If your father was not a good father to you, and you have bad memories of your father, that's very hard as a Christian. Because what happens is, if we say, as our Heavenly Father, and we look at, my father was terrible, mine wasn't, okay? But if we're saying that your father was terrible, then it's hard to look at our Heavenly Father in the right light too, okay? Because that's your experience of a father. But if your father was a loving father, I mean, I look at my father. My father worked on the line in Chrysler's. And during those times when I was growing up, he used to ride his bike to work all week. so that we'd have enough gas in the car to go to church on Sunday. So, you know, I look at a man who had six children, and he cared for us and provided for us, and he was always there. And so Paul uses this description. He says, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you." So the word holy speaks of his life before God. The word righteous describes his light in the sight of men. And the word blameless is the result of him being holy before God and righteous before men. Because let's face it, many of you have probably heard this expression, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And you look at it and you go, wait a minute. Is that true of me? So what it means to be a person of integrity is to have my life be such that other people look at me and they say, well, he said he'd be here, he'll be here. He said he would do it, he'll do it. They can count on my word. They know I am a person of integrity because I have said it. In verse 12, it talks about what it means to be a father. And it says in verse 12 that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So as a father, what is the context of a father in my life? Well, I think of my father, and I think of a man who exhorted me. And when I say that, when I was wrong, my dad let me know. In fact, my mother did too. Because she said, when your dad gets home, you know, and we knew when my dad got home, I'm not sure he ever really did anything more than my mother would have done. But the fear of my father, because he was the one that was the head of the home. And so my mother would say that as well. But you know, my father encouraged me. My father encouraged me by his actions and by his words. He encouraged me to, again, try to be more and more like my Savior. And my father charged me to walk worthy of God. Okay, that was what he used to say to me. Now remember, you have Jesus in your heart. And wherever you go, he sees what you're doing. He hears what you're saying. Wherever you go. He charged me. And I'll tell you, that is something that has rung in my mind throughout the years. Paul, again, was a steward of the gospel. He was like a father to these. And here at the assembly at Curtis, you have the opportunity to be like Paul was in encouraging each other and lifting each other up and healing each other when you're hurting. You can do this by reaching out to each other. And if, as a believer, I need to have a heartfelt concern for other believers. I think as you look around you, okay, is there someone here at the chapel that you could come alongside of? Now, when we say the younger person, what we mean is younger in the Lord, right? So you might be young in age, but you've been a Christian for 20 years. And there may be somebody else who's older than you, but they've only been a Christian for a few weeks or a month or a year. you can be a spiritual father or mother to that person. But you have to reach out. You have to look at the needs and say, how can I come alongside? Paul was a man of integrity. What you saw was what you got. He did not try to create an image for himself. You know how some people do that? They try to appear to be, you know, really this or really that, and they try to encourage people to think they're something. Paul didn't do that. What you saw, Paul, and you saw what you saw was what you got. I read of an employer once who gave a new employee this advice. The best way to be sure you will stay out of trouble is to pretend that a video camera is on and taping you wherever you go and whatever you do. So you think of being at work, okay, and thinking that all the time you're at work, there's a video camera right on you. How would your actions be different? How would your work be different? But that's what integrity is. It's living that way. So when I go to work, I give my employer 100%. I do my best job. I do it faithfully. I'm committed to doing it. That is a man of integrity. That's a woman of integrity. And as a Christian, that's the way that I should be. And if we could think of that idea of having a video camera on at all times, many of us would act differently. There's things that we wouldn't do. In my own life, again, it amazes me that I am so concerned with what other people think. But so often I'm not fully aware of the fact that Jesus Christ sees and hears what I say. If he were here right this morning, sitting in the front row, what things would you do or say that would be different than him not being here? There's things, again, that's what it means to be a person of integrity. It's behaving in such a way that you realize the Lord Jesus Christ sees, hears everything I say and do. I remember when I was a kid, and maybe you had this experience too, when I was a child, my mother always used to say, now make sure you change your underwear every day. And for a little boy, like, come on, what's a big deal, right? And she would say, if you get in an accident and you have to go to the hospital, the policeman and the hospital staff are going to know that you didn't change your underwear. And of course you think of it and you say, like, if I'm in an accident, I would hope that's the least thing they'd be worried about, my underwear. But the point is this, if the reason I change my underwear every day is because somebody else might find out, that's the wrong reason. See, integrity means that I change my underwear because it's the right thing to do. Now, that's a rather mundane example, but that's the reality of it. I do what I do because it's the right thing to do, not because somebody else might find out. So, it demonstrates for each of us that we need to do something because it's right and not because of what other people will think. So integrity in Christ, then, is doing the right thing and believing the right thing because Jesus loves us and we love him. And the right thing is the right thing. Now you would want, you know, as many of you know, I was a school teacher, a secondary school teacher my whole career. And so I had a lot of experience with the kids. And a lot of kids would behave very well when the teacher was there. When I was there, they would behave very well. But if I were to leave the room for a minute, I might come back and find out that they were misbehaving big time. Well, the point is that integrity is doing it when nobody else is watching because it's the right thing to do. That's what God wants of me, so that's what I'm going to do because that's going to please Him. Now, those of you who have children, I ask a question. Does it please you when your children behave? I think all of us would say, yeah. And when they behave, like if they don't know you're around and you happen to see them maybe interacting with a child from the neighborhood and they're being extremely kind and thoughtful, you go, whoa, this is good. Because they're not doing it because you're watching. They're doing it because you've taught them that that's the way they should behave to others, right? So what I'm trying to get across here is that if we could become conscious of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ sees us every moment of every day. So if I get angry with my wife, guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ sees it. If I do something that I'm not supposed to do, guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ sees it. How do you think that affects Him? How does it affect you as a father or a mother when you see your child misbehaving with or treating somebody else as you would not have them treat them? It hurts, doesn't it? And think of that. How does God the Father look on it when we misbehave, when we do what we're not supposed to do? Of all the things that I could have said about me at my funeral, the one that I want the most is He's a man of integrity. Now, I tell you again, I look back on my life, and I can look back at times when, you know, I didn't behave as a man of integrity. And I look back, and I could let that haunt me and say to myself, oh, man, I'm just, you know, I could go there. But I look at the cross and I know that everything that I have committed in the past that I've confessed to my Father is forgotten. It's put away. I could look at it and I could say, you know, as a Christian, I shouldn't have done that. And it's true, I shouldn't have. But I don't let that stop me from now on, from this Sunday on, saying, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I want my life to be a life of integrity. Integrity in Christ is to please God in every way. Sometimes you might hear people saying, however, I don't have to answer to people. I just answer to God. I would suggest to you that that's just an excuse for not being responsible to the commitments made to others. You know, you just say, well, I don't have to worry about mankind. But if I'm treating people fairly and with love, that is integrity before God. If a man's focus then is on pleasing men. So if I come in here and I just, you know, I just say, oh, it's so wonderful today and to see you. And that's not what I feel in my heart. Then what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to please you and impress you. And that's the wrong thing. When I come here this morning and talk about integrity, it's not to impress you that I'm a man of integrity. It's to say to you, it's something that needs to be in my heart, in my life, and it's something that needs to be in your life. So I'm not here with the Word of God to share or make you think anything of me. Is what does God want for you? What does He want for me? I think of a man that I taught with. Now, this guy was really a happy jack. You know, he was the kind of guy that always had a smile on his face. He was so nice to everybody. He was a pleasure to be around. And that was the image that I had of this man. I was in a store one time, and this guy was the secondary school principal at this time. I was in a store, and I happened to see this fellow at the second or third cash register over for me. And he was berating the cashier. It was embarrassing. Have you ever had that happen to you? Where you see somebody that you know who's acting very, very poorly. What do you do? I went like this, you know. I don't want him to know that I saw him behaving so poorly. I was embarrassed for him the way he was acting. So what I'm saying there is he had the persona of being a man that was very caring, easygoing, great to be around and stuff like this. But his actions when he was outside of those he knew were not that at all. So what that would say is that he wasn't behaving as a man with integrity. Now, he was not a Christian, but he was not behaving the way he should have behaved. So the message that I think of for myself is that the world is watching. And I've mentioned this before here, I'm sure, but there's a saying that the only Bible that some people will ever read is your life. They will know we are Christians. Oh, by our walk. They'll know we are Christians by our walk.
When,
pardon?
By
our fruit. Okay? They will know we're Christians by our fruit, by the way we walk. So it's what we do every day that will tell people that we are a Christian. They'll say, you're different. You know, nobody wants to be, I shouldn't say that today. Everyone wants to be different. Purple hair, red hair, green hair. They want to be different. When I was younger, we didn't want to stand out in a crowd. But the point is that we want to be different as Christians. We want to be different than the world. And our life should be that way. If we are pleasers of men, we will be tempted to bend the truth to please people. Because frankly, there are some hard teachings in the Word of God. There are. And so you say, well, you know, you get into conversation with them. Well, what does the Bible say? What does God say in His Word? Because we need to stand according to what the Word of God says, not according to what we feel in our heart. Okay? We need to stand, and again, the truth is the truth as it is in the Word. Well, I think, doesn't matter what I think, the truth is what is written in God's Word. Having integrity in Christ just doesn't mean knowing the truth. It means we are called to live it. We're told again in His Word to love as He loved. What does that mean? To love as He loved. How did He love? It says that He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Have you ever thought of that? That the Lord Jesus Christ knew what was going to happen. He knew that He was going to bear the penalty for every person's sin on His body. He knew He was going to be separated from His Father. He knew what was going to happen. It says that His visage was so marred that He didn't even appear as a man. But that was the physical part. But the spiritual part, He was separated from His Father. He knew all that. But He loved me so much He went to that cross. He loved you so much He went to that cross. And He died for you on Calvary's cross. This morning, all you have to do if you do not know him as Savior is believe that he is the Son of God, that he came to earth, that he died on Calvary's cross, the third day he rose, and he paid the penalty for your sin and my sin. Nothing I do will win me merit before God. It's only what he's done. It's all about him, not about me. It's not all the good things that I could do. It's what he's already done on Calvary's cross. So to make a difference in this life, as Paul did, and as we see in 1 Thessalonians 2, we need to have a difference in our life. We need to be different. And we have to have a passion for the work of the kingdom of God. How much longer is it going to be before Jesus Christ returns? I don't know. But you know, I don't think it's going to be that much longer. The way the world is getting now, like, I don't think that Christian parents are going to be able to send their kids to public schools any longer in the future, because it's getting so bad. And it's probably as bad over here as it is in Canada. But with all this stuff about 9 different definitions of sexuality, you know, and these kids are being taught this. They're being taught things, and we need to stand up. But the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, will be returning shortly. And it's imperative for you and I to live a life of integrity. We can be what God wants us to be. We can have that integrity, not because of any greatness that we have, but because of God's greatness and the power of his word. The point is, there's nothing I can do. Like, I can say here, okay, from now on, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be a man of integrity, right? And everything's going to be completely honest. My word's going to be, okay, but the point in my own flesh, I don't have the power to do that. But if I submit to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, God, I want you to direct my life. I want you to show me what I need to fix in my life. And then you go forward from there, looking to God every day. And when you mess up, hey, you'll be saying something to somebody and all of a sudden the thought comes in your mind, integrity. And you go, ooh. And maybe you bring it down a notch or two. Because you see, if I'm a man of integrity, I say that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It should show. And it should show by my actions. And so for each of us, as we go forward, and this is my message this morning, what's gone by is gone by. You look at your life and you say, oh, I have so many regrets. Yeah? But you can't do anything about anything that's passed from today backwards. But you can do something about what goes from today forward. Submitting to the Holy Spirit. Taking the Word of God and making that your guide. Your point of direction. And then living each day to show, again, the love of Christ to everyone. To Christians and to non-Christians. And wouldn't it be a great thing? And for most of you, I probably won't be at your funeral. Okay? You probably won't be at my funeral. But what a great thing to be at your funeral or mine. You know, I remember Phyllis and Jerry's funeral. And I remember, you know, most of you know, Jerry was a man who was a little rough around the edges. But when I went to his funeral and I heard these ladies getting up and saying what an impact that Papa Jerry and Mama Phyllis had in their lives, I said to myself, you know what? God can use any of us. He can use us no matter what blemishes we have if we give ourselves to serving him and to making a difference in the lives of others. So this morning, think about it. What do you want to say, or what do you want to have said at your funeral? And you and I can partly determine that from what goes on from now to the end of our life as we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and live under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And that just means daily going to His Word and praying, Lord, help me today to be the man, to be the woman that I need to be. And then living each day that way. And then I and you can be known as a man of integrity, not because we impress people, but because that's what's seen in our lives. So I just pray. It's been a real challenge to my own heart. Being a man of integrity. Challenge you, challenge myself. That we'll go forth from here and to be shining examples of the love of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, again, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you that you, the Son of God, came from heaven's glory and died on Calvary's cross. And we would pray, Lord, that you would help us daily to be conscious of the fact that you live within us, that your Holy Spirit dwells within us, and every word, action, deed that we do is witnessed by you. And Lord, we want to be like our Savior. We know that that's impossible for us to be perfect like Him here on this earth. But Lord, make us to be like our Savior, we pray. For we ask in His most holy and precious name.
Absolutely.